All right. Okay, you ready? So we have cartels. Thank you. Okay, so today is a special day in the Vaishnava calendar. Hey, Radha Shalini, what a surprise. So, today is a special day in the Vaishnava calendar. It's the celebration of the disappearance day of Ravana. So, we're not going to chant the prayers of the departed Vaishnavas for now. And it's also the celebration of the appearance day of Shripad Madhvacharya. So instead of the normal Bhagavatam class, we're going to speak about these two great personalities, Lord Ram and Ravana. No, Madhvacharya. Ravana also. So we're going to chant Sita Ram before class. All right? You know that? How do you know that?
Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram Sitaram jaya Sitaram Sitaram jaya Sitaram
Sitaram
jaya Sitaram Sitaram jaya Sitaram Patita Paramana Sita Ram
Patita Paramana Sita Ram
Radu Pati Radhava Raja Ram Patita Paramana Sita Ram
Yeah.
Vishnupad, Paramahamsa, Paramitacharya, All Sutada, Satishi, Shimad, His Divine Grace Abhaya, Chananada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharshila Prabhupada Kijai, ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Anantagoti Vaishnava Vrindi Kijai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai, Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nichananda Sudweta Garatha Shiva Siddhi Gaur Bhaktivedanta Kijai, Shishi Radhakrishna Govardhana Sayam Kunda, Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kijai, Vrindavanam Kijai, Maturam Kijai, Navadeepdam Kijai, Jagannathasami Kijai, Yuvanamai Kijai, Srimad Galasi Devi Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kijai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories, the assembled devotees, all glories, the assembled devotees, all glories, the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. Om Gana Timidanda Shah Gananjana Shavakaya Chakshur and Medikam Yenatas Mai Shikabena Maha. So, first, we're going to speak about Madhvacharya, okay? Very quickly, and then we'll get on to the Ramayana. So, Shripad Madhvacharya is considered the third incarnation of Vayu. What does that mean?
The third incarnation of the Wind God.
Okay, so who is the first incarnation?
Hanuman, I think.
Who is the second? I'll give you a hint. Pandava?
Bhim.
And the third was Madhvacharya. And the Brahmanas prayed for the Lord to send down Vayu as his associate or as his preacher to save everybody in Kali Yuga. So he appeared in a place called Udupi. That's in India. And what happened is at the age of 8, it was even before that, he showed his position as a great personality because he used to jump through the air, being a son of Vayu. Whenever his mother called him, he would jump through the air, even if it was 2 kilometers away, and he would arrive at his mother's feet. He was so obedient to his mother, like you all should be. And then, also, there was a snake who came to attack his family. The snake's name was Maniman, a demon. And he put his toe, his big toe, on the snake and crushed the snake to death. That's another story. Another story is one time his father owed a lot of money to someone. And then he took some tamarind seeds, gave it to that person, transformed the tamarind seeds to gold coins, and the person was satisfied. So he had great power. So anyway, at the age of 8, he wanted to take sannyas. Why did he want to take sannyas? Because he's a great devotee, and also his guru was giving him sweets every time he went to the temple. And so he called his guru the sweet guru. So that's a trick the gurus or the sannyasis utilize to get people to join the movement. So his parents objected, and they said, you can't take sannyas until we have a son. And is there a tissue or something like that? Box of tissues or whatever. Until we have a son, and they were very old, so practically speaking, it was almost impossible that they would have a son at that age. And so what happened, by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, when Madhvacharya was 11 years old, a son was born to his parents, and he left home at 11. How old are you, Keshav?
10.
Okay, one more year for you. And then he was given the name of Ananda Tirtha by his guru, Achyutapreksha Tirtha. And later on, because his guru was a Mayavadi guru, he converted his guru into Krishna consciousness and initiated his own guru. Pretty good, isn't it? And the guru became a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he was very well known because of his skill of debate. He could defeat anybody, and he made many disciples that particular way. He went to Bhadarika Ashram twice to visit Veda Vyas and showed him his commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. And Srila Prabhupada used this commentary, which is called the Bhashya, on the Bhagavad Gita of Madhvacharya when he put together his Bhaktivedanta commentary. So there's an interesting story in Udupi. Once upon a time, there was a boat that was in trouble because Udupi is on the seashore. And he was able to guide the boat to safety, and he was given this big chunk of chandan, gopi chandan, as a reward. And within that chunk of gopi chandan, it's described that there were deities. There was Krishna and Balaram, and also a Durga deity. That's interesting. And then he installed those deities there. In addition, he worshipped the same deities of Sita and Ram that Hanuman had been worshipping, that previously had been worshipped by the whole sun god dynasty, beginning with Vivasan. Interesting, isn't it? And those deities are still there. Beginning with
who?
What?
The sun dynasty, beginning with who?
Beginning with Vivasvan. Who's Vivasvan? You don't know. Imam Vivasvate Yogam. You don't know that verse? In the beginning, Krishna instructed Vivasvan, the sun god, in the Bhagavad Gita. And Vivasvan is this first sun god from whole other sun gods' descent. Anyway, so Vivasvan was the origin of the Surya Vamsa. What's the Surya Vamsa? You're not sure. Surya Vamsa means the sun dynasty. Uh-oh, a big garland. Now I'm not going to be able to see anyway. You're supposed to put it around the neck and not on the head. Anyway, it's devotion that counts. Just like one devotee offered Krishna a banana peel, and Krishna accepted. So, anyway, so he worshipped those deities, the deities of Sita and Ram that were passed down in the Surya or the Sun dynasty. And there are many other instances that came. He was so strong, like Hanuman, he was able to lift a boulder that weighed many, many tons. He was definitely like Hanuman. Anyway, so he disappeared from this world. Of course, he was the origin of what's called the Tattvavada Sampradaya. He taught the Dvaita philosophy, the duality. Duality meaning there is God and the living entities. We are not one and the same in every respect. We are different. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu perfected that philosophy when he taught Achinjabheda Bheda Tattva, that we are one and different from Krishna simultaneously, inconceivably. So anyway, so he disappeared from this world, giving a lecture on the Atharva Upanishad. And so he was giving a lecture, and then he disappeared at that particular point. And now is permanently in Bhairava Ashram, where he serves Srila Vyasadeva. So that's the story of Shripad Madhvacharya. And we are members of Madhvacharya's Sampradaya. Our Sampradaya is called the Madhva-Gaudiya Sampradaya. Brahma-Madhva-Gaudiya Sampradaya. From Brahma to Madhvacharya to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's our Sampradaya, okay? It's one of the four basic sampradayas. The others are the Rudra Sampradaya, Kumara Sampradaya, and what's the last one? What's money? Lakshmi Sampradaya, Sri Sampradaya. Okay, same thing. Okay, now we're going to talk about Ram's victory. This is a little bit lengthy. These are based on my notes from the Valmiki Ramayana. So, let's start. We're not going to start with the whole Ramayana, because that would take days and days and days. But let's start with the building of the bridge, say to Banda, right? To where? Where are they building a bridge to? America? Lanka. I thought that was Prasadam. Anyway, they're building a bridge to Lanka, which is sometimes called Ceylon, but nowadays it's called Lanka again. So that bridge, it's described in the Ramayana, was 80 miles wide. That means about 110 or 120 kilometers wide. How far is that?
120.
That's from Sydney to where?
To Newcastle.
But Newcastle. That's how wide it was. Not even how long it was. And it's described in the Ramayana, it was 800 miles long. That's about 1,100 kilometers long. And how long is that? That's from Sydney to what?
Brisbane.
About Brisbane, or?
Yeah.
Sydney to Brisbane, that's how long it is. Because it had to accommodate millions and millions and millions of monkeys and bears and all sorts of other living entities. We're not going to discuss about building the bridge, because it would take too long. So, actually, Hanuman flew with Ram. So, Hanuman actually didn't walk across the bridge. He flew with Rama to Lanka. And they arrived at the shore, and what happened is that there were spies sent by Rama. And the spies' names were Shuka and Saran. And they were discovered by the monkeys, and Ram ordered them released. And Ram said, you can look at whatever you want and report back to Ravana. And Ravan actually saw Shuka, and he teased him because he saw that he was bereft of all of his hair on his body because that was pulled out by the monkeys. He said, what do you look like? You look pretty hellish. And Shuka advised him, he said, you should give back Sita, and if you don't, you're going to have to get ready to fight because they've made such a long bridge. Then Shuka and Sarna were sent back again by Ravana to spy in the guise of apes. First they were spying in the guise of birds, and then they were sent in disguise of apes. And Bibhishan saw them and then took them to Ram, and Ram also sent them back unharmed and told them they could see whatever they want. They reported to Ravana, and they said to Ravana, let's make peace. Then Ravana went up to this hill called Trikuta, and he questioned Sarna about the identity of the various monkeys. There were amazing descriptions given in the Valmiki Ramayana of the powers and numbers of the monkeys. Ravana got angry with them for praising his enemy, and he threatened to kill Shuka. He said, why are you praising my enemy? But he says, I remember you used to be good devotees, my devotees, and therefore I'm not going to kill you. Then there was another Rakshasa who was sent named Sardula to spy, and he's also captured, and he comes back frightened. And Ravana meets with his advisors. Then he goes to this demon magician called Vidyujiva and says, create Ram's head and bring it to Sita. So he creates an artificial head of Ram, brings it to Sita. Then he tells Sita how Ram and the monkeys were killed in their sleep, and he also places an imitation bow of Ram before Sita. Sita starts crying, and she blames Kaikeyi for the whole thing. So Sita becomes completely overwhelmed. Then a guard comes and informs Ravana that Brahasta needs him immediately. There's something urgent happening. When Ravana left, the head disappeared. And then Sita understood this is not actually Ram. So Ravana met with his generals and planned his strategy. In the meantime, there's a very good Rakshasini. Her name was Sarama. She was the daughter of Vibhishan. And she told Sita, this is all a trick, don't worry. I was watching it all. And actually, Sita sends Sarama to spy on Ravan to hear what's going on. So this is the way Sita gets a lot of news about what's going on. So Sita even had her own spy. It's pretty good, isn't it? So, then there are the sounds of war. They blow the conch shells or whatever the demons blow. You know, they blow the ass horns or something like that. I don't know what demons blow to announce things. And then Sarma overhears what's going on. And Ravana is advised by many people to give back Sita Devi. Especially there's this person named Malyavan, who advises him to give back Sita. Ravana says, I reject you. I'm going to prepare for war. So he stations the different demons at different gates. Prahasta is at the eastern gate, Mahaparsha the south, Indrajit the west, Sukha and Sarana the north, and Vidyupaksha in the center. Vibhishan also has his spies, and they report back, because we, at this time, remember, Vibhishan is working for Ram. Because previously, he had been insulted by Indrajit and also by Ravan, and so he had left with his four associates. So he used his four associates to spy on Ravan. And so this Vibhishan spies report, and they tell everything, and therefore Ram plans to go to the northern gate to directly fight with Ravan. And he tells his army that only 7 individuals should take human forms. Everybody else should keep their monkey forms, because he doesn't want them to be confused. So Ram and the generals, they climb this other mountain just to see what's happening. It's called the Suvela Mountain, and to see what's happening on Lanka. Because Lanka is situated on the Trikuta. And then they see Ravana at the top of Trikuta, because Ravana is also spying to see all these monkeys. Like he heard Shuka's description of who the monkeys were, how powerful they were. And Sugriva, seeing this, gets very angry. And he flies to fight with Ravana. He insults him, he knocks his crown off. And there's the ferocious fight. And the fight is actually even between Sugriva and Ravana, because Sugriva is a very powerful personality too. Who is Sugriva's father? Does anyone know? Indra? No. Who? The sun god. The sun god. And who is Sugriva's brother's father? Who is the brother of Sugriva?
Bali.
Bali. And Bali was killed by Lord Ram. But who is Bali's father? Indra. So they had the same mother and different fathers. I'm not going to tell that story, how that happened. But anyway, there was a big fight, and Ravana pulled some Rakshasa trick, and Sugriva flew off. Ram chastised them for being so stupid and endangering the whole army by this impetuous attack on Ravana. Then billions of apes begin to approach the city gates. And then Ram says, well, let's try to make peace first. And then he sends Angada to talk to Ravan, because Angada is the son of who?
Bali.
And Angada flies in and challenges Ravana. And he says, Ravana, you will be purified by being killed by the arrows of Ram. Ravana becomes furious. And they try to seize Angada. Angada doesn't let them seize him, and he flies in the air and drops them all on the ground. Then he flies to the peak of the palace. This is not exactly like the movie. This is from the Valmiki Ramayana. You going now?
Yes, Maharaj.
To work?
No,
temple. Okay. So he flies into the peak of Ravana's palace, and he cuts off the top of the peak of Ravana's palace just to insult him. Then he flies back to Ram. And then they start fighting. And fighting continues in the night. And the first day, the soldiers can't distinguish who is a friend and who is an enemy. So they basically start killing each other. And Indrajit becomes defeated, but then he becomes invisible and starts firing weapons and covers Ram's body with snake, with a snake weapon. And he also covers Lakshman's body with a snake weapon. And then he thinks, well, they're dead now. I've killed Ram and Lakshman, and no one, including all the demigods, can save them. So everyone becomes depressed. And Sita is taken in the Pushpaka Vimana by Trijata to see Ram and Lakshman. She sees them on the battlefield, and she starts crying. She says the sages were wrong when they predicted that she would have good fortune. Now she's become a widow. But Tridatta assures Sita that they are not dead. Don't worry, there's still life in the body. And then eventually, you know, then who comes and saves them? Garuda comes and saves them. So, let's see. Garuda comes and saves them because Hanuman comes and gets Garuda. So the snakes go away, and Garuda wipes the bodies of Ram and Lakshman with his hand. And they get up completely better and stand up. And he explains that the arrows are the sons of Kadru. Kadru, of course, is the mother of the snakes. And only he can defeat them. Ram asks Garuda, who are you? And Garuda says, I'm your friend. And because of Yogamaya, Ram doesn't really remember who Garuda is. It's interesting. Even God puts himself under the jurisdiction of this Yogamaya illusory potency so he can enact his pastimes. And the monkeys start yelling, "Hoodie bowl!" And Ravana hears that and becomes bewildered. He thinks, "Oh my God, what's going to happen?" And then he sends one of his demon associates named Dumraksha to kill them. And Dumraksha gets killed by Hanuman very, very easily. And then he sends Vrajadamsa. And Vrajadamsa is killed by Angada. Then he sends a Kampana out. And a Kampana is killed by Hanuman with a big tree. Poor Ravana, he's just seen all of his sons and associates being killed. Then there was a big celebration and everyone praised Hanuman. And Ravana became very angry. Then he sends Prahasta out. And Prahasta goes out with 3/4 of the total force of Ravana. And he sees very inauspicious symptoms. What's an inauspicious symptom? Does anyone know? Give me an example. For a man, what's an inauspicious symptom? Does anyone know? The left eye starts going like that. And for a woman, it's the opposite. The eye goes. Your eyes start twitching. That means you're going to die soon.
Oh, like this.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's that. In the it's there in all the Vedic literatures. That Prabhupada even said that when a man experiences the left eye, you know, twitching a lot, it's not that it just blink. That means something inauspicious is going to happen, and it's the opposite for a woman. So be careful how your eye is twitching. If your eye is twitching, lock your door, stay inside, don't go anywhere. So anyway, so Prahasta goes out, and Prahasta's chariot is smashed, and then his head is smashed into 1,000 pieces by Nila with a stone. Poor guy. Ravana gets angry, and this time he comes out himself and tells his army to guard the city. So Sugriva is knocked unconscious by Ravana's arrow. Lakshman wants to fight Ravana. And Hanuman is hit by Ravana and recovers. But then Ravana is knocked out almost unconscious by Hanuman. But then Ravana hits Hanuman with 2 hands, just 2 hands at that point. And Hanuman becomes unconscious. Then Neil fights with Ravana. Mountains are being thrown by him. Trees are cut up. And Neil makes himself very tiny. And he goes on Ravana's flagstaff, that means on the top of the chariot. And he keeps jumping to his crown, his bow, and he keeps making fun, you know, sticking his tongue out at Ravana. And everyone starts laughing. All the apes start laughing at Ravana. And Ravana, but at this point, he takes the fire god's arrow and aims it at Neil. Neil falls down, doesn't die. Then Ravana fights with Lakshman again. Ravana fires arrows that are shot down by Lakshman. He hits Lakshman on the forehead by the missile of Lord Brahma. Lakshman starts to sway, and then he breaks Ravana's bow. Then Ravana hurls a javelin at Lakshman's chest. Lakshman is knocked unconscious. Ravana tries to pick up him, but can't. And then Hanuman attacks Ravana with his 2 fists. Ravana, pretty interesting, falls down and vomits blood and faints. Then Hanuman takes Lakshman to Ram. The javelin left Lakshman, and Lakshman becomes healed. Nice. Then Ram goes personally to fight Ravana. Ram gets on Hanuman's shoulders. Ravana shoots at Hanuman. Ram cuts Ravana's chariot to pieces. Then he strikes Ravana on the chest with an arrow. Ravana totters. Ram breaks the crown of Ravana, and then he tells Ravana to go back home. You're pretty tired. Come back another day. You know, I don't want to kill you because, you know, you're just too tired. It's not appropriate. And so he says, come back tomorrow to be killed. And then Ravana, being extremely embarrassed, starts crying, lamenting, and he remembers all the different curses he had gotten. He got a curse by Anaranya, who is the forefather of Ram, who he killed. Anaranya said that Ravana would be killed by one of his descendants. He was cursed by Vedavati, Vedavati, of course, was Sita in the previous incarnation, who he tried to attack. She was on a mountain, and he grabbed her hair, and Sita cut the hair and then immolated herself. That means burned herself. He was cursed by Parvati when he tried to disturb Lord Shiva, who was on the Mount Kailash. And he's cursed in many different ways. And then Ravana decides to wake up his brother, who?
Kumbhakarna,
who was supposed to be sleeping for 6 months, woke up one day to eat. And it was described, as I mentioned last night, that when Kumbhakarna was woken up at the inappropriate time, it would be a predictor of his death. Okay, so the demons, they try to wake up Kumbhakarna. This is an interesting part of the story. But they can't enter the cave where Kumbhakarna is living because Kumbhakarna is breathing. And, you know, every time he breathes out, they're just like blown out of the cave. And every time they breathe in, they're sucked into the cave. So they're going back and forth, back and forth. Actually quite interesting. And so they decide, well, the only way to wake him up is to bring meat. Maybe he'll smell the meat. So they scream at him, and they have elephants, you know, jump on his body. And finally he rubs his eyes. What's up? And he eats tons and drinks and asks, why'd you wake me up prematurely? They answer. Then he gets drunk again and goes to Ravana. He likes liquor. And on the way to see Ravana, Ravana the monkeys are very disturbed. And they say, who is he? And Vibhishan tells the story of Kumbhakarna, that by birth he was eating everything. And I told the story yesterday that he was cursed to sleep forever when he asked for that benediction, Nidra Asana. But by Ravana's begging Lord Brahma, he was able to get awake every 6 months. So Kumbhakarna goes to Ravana and says, what's the problem? So Ravana explains what the problem is, and Kumbhakarna chastises Ravana and says, you should have followed Vibhishan's recommendation to give Sita Devi back. So Kumbhakarna preaches to Ravana about the proper dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. And Ravana says, I understand all these things, but don't dwell on the past. Do what has to be done right away. And Kumbhakarna assures him that he will kill Ram and everyone alone. And Mahodara yells at Kumbhakarna for insulting Ravana. He says basically that Ravana does everything right because he is above the rules. He actually is the source of Dharma. But he tells Kumbhakarna not to go alone. You're underestimating Ram's power. So he gives a plan to bring Sita under the control of Ravana. He says that even if Kumbhakarna and him are defeated, they should return bloodied and report that they are victorious, and that the city should celebrate victory as a trick to trick Sita Devi. Kumbhakarna yells at Mahodara and says, this is bad advice. You're giving bad advice from the beginning as far as kidnapping Sita. So Ravana agrees with Kumbhakarna. Kumbhakarna goes out to fight. The monkeys get frightened by seeing Kumbhakarna. Angada says it's just a machine, but it's not actually a machine, he's a person. Kumbhakarna starts to kill everybody in the monkey army. The monkeys are frightened, they run away. And Hanuman, high in the air, hits Kumbhakarna. Kumbhakarna hits Hanuman. Hanuman vomits blood. Kumbhakarna takes Sugriva captive, unconscious. Wow. So Hanuman lets Kumbhakarna take Sugriva to save Sugriva's false ego, or ego. Sugriva wakes up and he bites off the ears and nose of Kumbhakarna. So Kumbhakarna is holding Sugriva, and Sugriva just like jumps out and goes. So Kumbhakarna at that point doesn't have an ear or ears or nose. So Kumbhakarna returns and he starts eating the monkeys and rakshasas, even the rakshasas he starts eating, because he's so angry at that point. The monkeys are eaten, and some of them even come out of his nose and ears after the visit. Interesting. Kumbhakarna fights Lakshman, and he's pleased with Lakshman, but he says, please let me fight with Ram. Then Vibhishan comes out. It's interesting. And Kumbhakarna says, please get out of my way, since you have to continue the family when everyone else is dead, so I am so disturbed I can't tell the difference between family and others. I don't want to hurt you, Vibhishan. So Kumbhakarna refuses to fight, and Vibhishan explains that he tried to talk Ravana out of fighting. Then Vibhishan cries and retires from the battlefield, and then Ram challenges Kumbhakarna and fires arrows. After some time, Ram uses the wind god weapon and cuts off one arm of Kumbhakarna. Then he uses the Indra weapon to cut off the other arm. Then he cuts off the legs of Kumbhakarna, and then he fills Kumbhakarna's mouth with arrows. And with Indra's arrow, he cuts off the head. The head falls and blocks the entrance to Lanka, so nobody can get in or out of Lanka. The body falls in the sea, and many monkeys and other rakshasas are killed by the falling body. Ravana starts lamenting, remembers Vibhishan's instructions that he should have followed them. Then Ravana sends the sons out, to kill Ram. He sends Trishira, Devantaka, Nirantaka, Mahodara, Atikai, and Mahaparshva, and they want to fight. And Ravana feels better, so he sends them all out. They enter the battlefield roaring, and the monkeys roar louder because they're having a competition who can roar the loudest. And there's a big fight. Lakshman tells them to use the Brahma, the wind god tells Lakshman to use Brahma's weapon, and said he cuts off the head of one of them. Indrajit decides to enter. He performs a sacrifice where he offers sheep's head, and he gets weapons, especially Lord Brahma's weapon. So he fights from the sky, and being invisible, hits and knocks out all the monkeys, 67 crores of monkeys. Wow. How much is a crore? 10 million. So 67 times 10 is what? No. 67 times 10 million is how much?
Oh, 10 million.
670 million monkeys were knocked out. So Ram and Lakshman are both knocked down at this point, and they appear to be dead. Terrible. Hanuman and Sugriva go, and they find Jambavan. Jambavan asks if Hanuman is alive, and they're surprised that he's not asking about Ram or Lakshman, he's just asking about Hanuman. But he says that Hanuman can go and save them all. So Jambavan is in so much pain, he can't even open his eyes. But Hanuman speaks to Jambavan. Jambavan tells him to get the medicines. So Hanuman flies all the way to the Rishabha Mountains, and he picks up the Mrityu Sanjeevani, actually the whole mountain, and he brings it back. And because the herbs hid themselves, the herbs hid themselves when he came. So all the monkeys inhaled the scent of the herbs, and they were brought back to life. But the rakshasas weren't brought back to life because all their bodies had been thrown into the ocean. And the reason they've been thrown in the ocean is that Ravana ordered them to throw the bodies in the ocean because the rakshasas would get very disturbed seeing all the dead bodies of the rakshasas. So Ravana, it was Ravana's fault they weren't brought back to life. Because when Hanuman brought them out, all the smell, the scent from these herbs revived everybody. All brought back to life. Anyway, so then the apes advanced on the city again. They burned the city gates and many houses, and more than 1,000 rakshasas ran and were burnt. Then Ravana, very angry, sends the sons of Kumbhakarna, Kumbha and Nikumbha, to attack the apes. It's a long story. Angada kills them single-handedly, but gets knocked out by Kumbha, and also Kumbha also knocks out Dvidvida and Mainda gorillas. Then Sugriva comes and breaks Kumbha's bow and kills him. Hanuman then kills Nikumbha. First he throws him in the water, but he bounces back, and then Hanuman tells him to go home and rest, and eventually Hanuman separates his head from the body. This goes like that. Then the son of Makaraj comes as the son of Kara. He attacks Raman. Raman is killed. Then Ravana tells Indrajit to actually fight from the sky and become invisible. so no one can see him. Lakshman wants to use the Brahmastra against all the Rakshasas, but Ram says, no, don't hurt people who are not fighting. I will kill him soon. Then Indra, hearing this, makes a black magic copy of Sita Devi. He brings her before Hanuman. He throws her around and then kills her. It's just a magic copy, not the real Sita Devi. Then Hanuman becomes depressed, goes into anger, and kills many Rakshasas. Then he tells Ram about the news, and tells Jambavan about the news, and let's see, everyone becomes very confused. So Indrajit uses this particular time to go worship this deity called Nikumbila. So he got a benediction from Lord Brahma that if he worships the deity called Nikumbila, he will get an invincible chariot and always be able to defeat his enemy. Then Vibhishan comes back and tells them it is a trick. Ravana would never kill Sita Devi. Don't worry. He's doing this trick, so he's doing this sacrifice. Lakshman should go immediately accompanied by Hanuman and destroy the sacrifice. So Brahma predicted that Indrajit would die when the sacrifice was interrupted. So Hanuman and Lakshman go to try to interrupt the sacrifice, and Vibhishan points out where the fire sacrifice is being performed, and Hanuman goes and passes urine on the fire sacrifice and defiles the sacrifice. Pretty nice, isn't it? So, such an interesting story. Lakshman fights, sitting on Hanuman's shoulders, and eventually, let's see, the monkeys destroy Indrajit's chariot. Indrajit goes back in the city for a new chariot, and Vibhishan encourages all, saying that once we kill Indrajit, there's only Ravana left. So the driver of the second chariot is killed. Indrajit fires Yamaraj's arrow at Vibhishan. Lakshman fires and protects him. Indrajit's head is cut off and the Rakshasas flee. Lakshman goes to Ram and tells him, we won. And Vibhishan relates the news too, and Ram takes Lakshman and puts him on his lap and praises him. Because Lakshman is Ram's younger brother. Lakshman has many wounds. So they send him to this doctor, Shushena, to restore him and all the injured monkeys and bears to life. So Shushena gives Lakshman this powder to inhale, and Lakshman becomes completely healed, and everyone becomes healed. Ravana gets angry. Fire comes from him, his head. Everyone is afraid. He resolves to kill Sita, approaches her, but they talk him out of it. Convinced he can still enjoy her after defeating Raghava or Ram. So he orders all the remaining Rakshasas to kill Ram. Ram uses the Gandharva weapon to remain invisible and fight so quickly that no one can see him. And sometimes they see thousands of Rams and they fight each other. That's the Gandharva weapon. They think each other, they're Ram, and they kill each other. And they're all killed. All the remaining Rakshasas and Rakshasinis lament over Ravana's stupidity and Sarpanaka's ugliness. In other words, they blame Sarpanaka, the ugly girl, for all this. Let's see. So he sends Mahaprashva, Mahodara, and Virupaksha door to door to get all the remaining Rakshasas that haven't died. And Ravana goes out on the chariot with 8 horses, and Ravana's left eye starts to twitch. So he knows he's going to die. And Sugriva slays Virupaksha by slapping him on the forehead. And Ravana tells Mahodara to kill all. Sugriva kills his horses and cuts off the head of Mahodara. The Rakshasas run away. Angada slays Mahaparshva. And then first Jambavan kills the horses, and Angada strikes him on his heart and kills him. Ravana starts attacking everyone with Brahma's missile. Ram twangs his bow, and everyone falls from the sound of Ram's bow. Lakshman fires arrows at Ravana. We're almost finished. And Ravana cuts the arrows down and ignores Lakshman and goes to Ram. Ravana uses the Asura weapon against Ram. Ram counters with the fire god missile. Lakshman cuts the flag, head of the driver, and the bow of Ravana. So they're all attacking Ravana. Vibhishan kills the horses. Ravana hurls a javelin at Vibhishan, that means a spear. Lakshman cuts it down. Ravana hurls a second javelin at Vibhishan, but Lakshman interferes and tries to cut it down, but Lakshman is hit with it. Ram prays, may all be well with you, and the javelin hits the heart region of Lakshman, and Ram keeps on fighting. The apes can't pull out the javelin. It's pretty heavy stuff. Ram pulls it out and breaks it in two pieces. Ram vows to kill Ravana in 1 hour. Shushena is called to cure Lakshman. He calls for Hanuman. Hanuman brings back the mountain a second time. It's interesting, because this is the Valmiki Ramayana. Hanuman actually brings the mountain back 2 times. And Lakshman sniffs. He's healed again. And Lakshman says, I want to be true to your vow to Ram, to kill him, to kill Ravan. So Ravana gets another chariot, and Matali, who is Indra's chariot driver, comes down with Indra's chariot and gives Ram the bow of Indra and armor. So Ravana fires snake arrows, and Ram fires the Garuda arrows. And so the Garuda arrows eat the snake arrows. Ravana cuts down Ram's flag. The Asuras cry, Haribo, or whatever they say. And then, no, they don't say Haribo, they say Hari Ravana or something. And then Ravana throws a spear. Ram couldn't stop it with arrows, but Ram stops it with a javelin and breaks it into 6 pieces. Ram pierces Ravana. Ravana is bewildered. The chariot driver takes Ravana away. Ravana chastises his driver. The driver explains that I did this to save your life. So Ram is tired, so Agastya Muni appears to teach him a certain mantra so he won't be so tired. It's called the Aditya Hridaya, which means the heart of the sun mantra. Ram does this mantra. He twangs his bow, and Ravana is moving in a counterclockwise direction. Ram takes Indra's bow, and now they're inauspicious signs again for Ravana. And both armies watch, and no one else fights. They just watch the whole battle between Ram and Ravana. So Ram cuts down Ravan's flag. Ravan fires arrows at Ram's horses, but the horses are not damaged because they're Indra's horses. Matali was shot but not hurt. Horses of both chariots are brushing against each other. Ram angrily cuts off 100 heads of Ravana one after the other, but they keep growing back. So Ram gets confused. The battle continues all day and night. Matali says, use the Brahma missile against Ravan's heart. And so Ram fires the Brahma missile, and what happens is that Ravan dies, the Rakshasas run, the apes run after, and flowers come from the sky, and drums are played by the demigods, and they congratulate him, and Vibhishan cries over Ravan's death. And Ram says, you have to do the last rites for your brother, and the Rakshasinis come out of the city, and they cry upon seeing Ravana. So that's Ram Vijaya. Long story. So any questions or comments? Yeah.
Why do the demigods give things like their weapons and armor to Ram? I mean,
to Ram? I mean, there's a pastime. They want to serve. Just like you see with Lord Vamanadeva, all the demigods are giving blessings to Lord Vamanadeva, and even with Hanuman, the great pure devotee of the Lord, the demigods are giving the different weapons and blessings and things like that. So it's part of their seva. I mean, why do we serve the deities? Krishna can take care of himself. He has so many Lakshmis in the spiritual world. He can certainly arrange for his own food. So why do we do it? Because Krishna's allowing us to serve. So Lord Rama is engaging the demigods. I mean, obviously he has the power. First of all, Prabhupada said that simply by desiring something, it happens when you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's called aptakama. Aptakama means that Krishna just desires something, Radha, Krishna, Ram, any expansion, just desires something that happens immediately. So he doesn't really need anyone else. But he engages other people in his service for the sake of pastimes and also for the sake of engaging them, allowing them to advance. Like Krishna can make the whole world Krishna conscious. He doesn't need us to go out and preach. But he's engaging us. Does that make sense?
Thank you.
So he's kind to the demigods. So any other questions about these pastimes? It's a long story. Yeah.
Me?
Yeah, you.
You were talking about how Ram didn't recognize something. I forgot who it was, but you said that it was because of Yogamaya, of Garuda. I heard that Yogamaya is only in Goloka Vrindavan. Is that?
No. Yogamaya is in all of Krishna's pastimes. All of Krishna and his expansion's pastimes. I mean, just, you know, there's any incarnation of God utilizes Yogamaya. Sometimes they forget who they are. Either Ram forgets who he is, or trying to think of another incarnation. Or, yeah, let's say even take Mohini Murti, who somehow or other, Rahu was able to drink some of the nectar, but she was informed that was Rahu, so she had to be informed by someone else. In other words, Yogamaya acts in each and every one of the Lord's incarnations for different reasons. I mean, let's say when a devotee is bewildered, when Lord Brahma was observing Varahadev fighting with Hiranyaksha, Lord Brahma was starting to get nervous about the whole thing. That's Yogamaya right there, when a pure devotee is starting to get nervous and thinking, you know, please kill him before he gets more powerful because it's going to be the dusk soon. That's Yogamaya. Is that, you follow it?
Yes.
So Yogamaya bewilders the devotees and also bewilders the Supreme Personality of Godhead to enable them to have these tasty or rasas, the exchanges, you know, the tasty exchanges. So, any other questions or comments? Or problems. So today is a very important day. We should remember Ram's victory and never try to enjoy Krishna's illusory energy without offering it to Krishna. Because otherwise, as Ravan experienced, Sita for him became Maya Sita or Durga. And that will be a source of difficulty for us. Durga means to move with great difficulty. Durga. Yeah. Okay, another question.
At the beginning of the class, you said you were talking about Macharya's philosophy and how it's...
Dvaita. It's called Dvaita, yeah.
What's the difference between that philosophy and Ramanujacharya's one?
Vishishta Dvaita.
Yes.
The difference is Vishishta Dvaita means purified oneness. And the difference is that Ramanujacharya's philosophy is very similar to Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. That Ramanujacharya recognized that the Lord's energy is somehow or other connected to him. Whereas Madhvacharya says that the Lord and his energies, they're really like Dvaita, separate. He even said that there are jiva souls who are inherently bada jivas, inherently, you know, just like conditioned jiva souls. And basically they would remain conditioned forever and ever. Whereas we understand that every jiva soul, jivara swarupohai nitya krishnadas, is eternally a servant of Krishna. So, I mean, there's some conception. And also, Madhvacharya didn't really talk about the Brahma Vimohana Leela. You know, Brahma's becoming bewildered when he stole the calves and the coward boys from Krishna because he wanted to respect the founder Acharya of his sampradaya. So I mean, there's some technical differences like that. The Tatvavadis tend to be very ritualistic. And they're really not cognizant of the intimate loving exchanges of Krishna and Vrindavan. They also consider Lord Vishnu to be superior to Krishna. In other words, they're thinking that Krishna comes from Lord Vishnu, whereas we know from the Bhagavatam, Ete Changsa Kalakpunsa Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. So actually, Lord Chaitanya's philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva is most similar to Ramanujacharya's philosophy, rather than Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya taught extreme dualism.
Are Ramanujacharya's followers ritualistic as well?
Generally, they tend to be, but their philosophy is closer to us. Generally, they tend to be, but they really do understand Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, although they don't enter, not being connected with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they don't enter into the intimate loving exchanges themselves. I mean, for example, they worship Balaji, and Balaji means baby Krishna or little boy Krishna. Krishna is a young boy, young baby, like Balaji. Prabhupada explained like that. So, whereas the Sri Madhvacharya's followers, generally they worship a Lord Vishnu. And also Ramanujacharya's followers too. I mean, they have they worship in Sri Rangam, Lord Ranganath, who was actually Lord Vishnu lying with Lakshmi. So the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, generally they're worshiping Krishna and Vrindavan. Although there's many followers like Murari Gupta who do primarily focus on other incarnations like Lord Ram. So any other questions or comments? Yeah.
Followers of Ramanujacharya, this is what I have. Slightly, our sampradaya, we give importance to both Krishna and Radha.
Yeah.
Ramanujacharya sampradaya followers,
yeah,
they don't give so much importance
to Radha. Yeah, because there's some of the followers are called Ramanandis, and they were responsible for separating Govindadev and Radha in Jaipur. There's that whole story, it's a Baladev Vidyabhushan story, where they took Radha off the altar in Jaipur, you know, Radha Govinda, and they put her in a separate temple. And Baladev Vidyabhushan was sent by Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur to actually convince the king, who was being influenced by these followers of Ramanujacharya, that they should be together. And so Baladev Vidyabhushan eventually compiled the commentary in the Vedanta Sutra called the Govinda Bhash that actually convinced the pandits and convinced the king to put Radha and Krishna together again. Yeah, and that, but then there's an esoteric meaning to that story, is that Krishna and Radharani had a fight, so Radharani left the altar because she was upset with Krishna. But you shouldn't do that with the deities here. You shouldn't take Radharani off the altar. So they had a fight one day. But that's, it was Krishna's arrangement that this particular pastime occurred. And also so the Govinda Bhash could be spoken by Govindadev and actually written down by Baladev Vidyabhushan.
That's why they say, because in Bhagavatam it's not mentioned much about Radharani because
yeah. Yeah, they make that argument, but the point is that Shukadeva Goswami couldn't mention Radharani. Had he mentioned her name directly, he would have gone into such a trance that the Bhagavatam would not have been finished at that point. That's the reason he couldn't directly mention her, because he was a great devotee of Radharani. It's described that he previously was Radharani's parrot, a sari. Sari is the name of Radharani's parrot. And had he mentioned Radha, he would have gone into trance. And the poor Maharaj Pariksha would have died without hearing the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. So out of compassion for Maharaj Pariksha, he didn't mention Radharani's name. So they take that, they misunderstand that because her name is not mentioned. But in many of the other Puranas, her name is mentioned. It's not, see, the Bhagavatam mentions her indirectly. It says, she who is worshipping. And it uses her name as part of another word, like Anuradhata, you know, something like that, that she who is worshipping, like that. And it describes a very special gopi who Krishna left the rasa dance with. I mean, obviously that's Radharani. It says Krishna left the rasa dance with a special gopi and eventually left her bereft. Anyway, that's the story in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So she is mentioned, but not by name.
Someone they say that because Sukadeva Goswami actually accepted Srimati Radharani as his guru.
Yeah.
And so he don't want to mention the name of
Guru. Yeah. Yeah, she doesn't want to mention the name of Guru, and also that's his, he would have been in too much ecstasy. Guru Govinda Maharaj explains this, that he would have been in too much ecstasy had he said Radha. And that's it. You know, would have fallen down on the ground and been foaming at the mouth and all the vyabhachari bhava symptoms of ecstasy. All right. Any other questions from the children? No, you understood the whole story?
Yeah.
So who won the battle?
Ram.
Why?
Because
he killed
Ravan. Yeah, and...
But why did he kill Ravan?
Because there's a story of him, Jain Vijaya, they were the doorkeepers of Vishnu.
And they were cursed by who?
Four
Kumaras.
Yeah. Yeah. They could have chosen either being demons.
Yeah.
Or three lives, or staying there for three lives and the rest of their lives demons.
Or, what was the other choice?
Or being a Brahmin.
Or being devotees for how many lives?
Seven
lives. Yeah. Seven lives. And they want to be demons. Why do they want to be demons?
Because they could be killed by Krishna.
And go back quicker to the spiritual world. And why did Krishna want them to take birth in the material world?
To perform more pastimes.
Yeah, to enjoy. Because Krishna doesn't like fighting with a demon. He likes fighting with devotees who are acting like demons. So should you act like a demon so you can fight with Krishna? No, I don't think so. Okay. No other questions, so we'll continue with today's program. We have bicycle riding now, right?
Yeah.
Okay, all glories to His divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.